The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Maller, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of January 2016. Happy New Year, guys. I hope you had a real safe and enjoyable holiday season. I had one of the best Christmases ever, and what can I say? It was just great. Lots of family, lots of friends, and of course, lots of great memories. I hope you guys had a wonderful season as well. It's a new year, it's a new beginnings, and it's very important for me to say this to everyone right now. I've decided to change my show a little bit for 2016. Now, it's not going to be a big difference from what you're usually used to. Normally, you guys, I kind of have the paranormal news segment, and then after that, I follow it up with our guest. Well, starting this year, I'm now going to be having a little section of the show called Oddities, which is going to come on right after the paranormal news. So you'll have your paranormal news, you'll have your oddities, and then you'll have your special guest if everything goes according to plan. Now, what this oddity segment is actually going to be, though, is probably a little different than what you would imagine. It's actually going to be odd facts from around the world. So I thought that'd be kind of fun to throw in there for a little bit of extra content. I mean, usually my show goes from 30 to 45 minutes. I'd like to knock that up closer to an hour, to be honest with you. I love doing these shows, and I know you guys enjoy them as well. I feel the interview format is just fine. 20, 25-minute interviews are great with some of the best in the field, whether it's paranormal or not. And let's hope that this new format will find you all well in 2016. Now, first and foremost, I got to say it. Man, oh man, it's getting really close. I know if you've been a longtime listener of me, you know that my wife Stephanie is pregnant, and we are now counting down the days to my new little boy or girl is coming. Yeah, I said it. I don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. We left it as a surprise on purpose, and I'm really, really excited about it all. To be honest with you, our first child, Faith, when she was born, let's just say that she was a surprise enough, so we wanted to find out. This time, we decided to keep it incognito, so to speak, keep it hush-hush, and let it be a wonderful surprise for us on that day when my new little baby boy or girl comes. So, as you can imagine, there is actually a good chance that by the time the next show comes out, I might be a father again. She's due on February 14th. There's a chance, of course, you might go early. So just putting it out there, if you tune in February and my show might be delayed or a little bit off for a week or so, don't panic. I haven't quit on the paranormal. I never will. And I sure as heck will never quit on you, my loyal listener base. I'm just saying I might not be able to put a show up for a week due to having a screaming youngster in my arms. I tell you what, I promise I'll have a little something up for you guys no matter what. But hey, on with the show. It's January, and let's get this paranormal news segment underway. I guess the first news story I'll bring up today is going to be more of like a throwback to the last podcast I did. Of course, as you know, it was a very hairy Squatchmas with Eric Altman. If you guys haven't checked that out, you should definitely backtrack just a little tiny bit and look it up. It was a great interview. Of course, Eric was just a wonderful, wonderful guest. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. But what if I told you Bigfoot has been captured? Dum, dum, dum. Well, maybe not captured as per se, more like 3D printed. All of our stories tonight, of course, are coming by way of unsolvedmysteries.com. Just to throw that out there before I dig in. And here comes our first one.
A full-scale 3D printed Bigfoot skeleton has been built. Dum-da-dum. Anthropologist Jeff Meldrum and his team have put together a life-size skeleton model of Sasquatch. The huge skeleton, which took over 3 months to create, was designed by first scanning a Neanderthal skeleton and then adjusting its proportions to match the famous Patterson-Gimlin footage, which shows an alleged Bigfoot walking across Bluff Creek in California. All we're doing is creating a hypothetical facsimile of what it might look like to convey a notion of the dimension, said Meldrum, who has been studying the Bigfoot phenomenon for over 20 years. Apparently, he's also been reading a lot of thesauruses as well. Good Lord. Hypothetical facsimile. Rise. Because we all say that in our everyday life. They gave us permission to do a 3D scan on a Neanderthal skeleton they found. We compared that to the Patterson-Gimlin film. We had to widen the shoulders and increase the thickness in the torso. The hips are as wide as the shoulders, and the body was built like a tank. Of course, now this one here, just a little excerpt from what was on the History Channel. Let you guys have a little listen and maybe get excited and check it out for yourselves.
Just a few minor things like putting the bones into their final position.
The massiveness of it. And just imagine coming face to face with something like that in the woods, huh?
We're pretty much ready to start sending stuff up to the printer.
At this point, I think Bigfoot's going to become a lot closer to reality.
The 3D print process, using products and technology manufactured by Stratasys, ended up taking 1,600 hours. All in all, 1,000 cubic inches of plastic parts were fused together to make Dr. Meldrum's 8.5-foot-tall Bigfoot skeleton. Fully fleshed out with muscles, skin, fur, and all its anatomical parts, a real Sasquatch like this would be gigantic, weighing in at 0.5 ton. While what equates to Meldrum's life's work was being assembled, I got a hint of what was to come.
You want to see the hand?
Yes. Yeah.
So this is the left hand. This took about 18 hours to print.
How does 3D printing work?
One example I always use is it's like stacking pieces of paper on top of each other until you get a whole ream of paper. As you look at the bottom, it has this black material. The black material gets laid first. It's a dissolvable material. That allows us to get rid of all that and leave us with the complete model.
Looks right there on top.
Yep. I have one printed over here.
Wow. That is something. I mean, it's just amazing the difference. It is just so huge. A single finger. You know, one element of that finger is so large. It's just amazing.
How could this help us understand, like, how to catch Bigfoot?
I think this exercise will point us to some specific aspects of the anatomy related to the natural history of this species.
Very, very interesting. You know, as we get more into this 3D printing thing, I wonder what's going to be around 100 years from now. I mean, basically, we can create anything we want from minimal materials. Of course, these machines are costing a fortune, but I think it's very, very important for people to know. It's very, very possible for us to be printing our own cryptids. So put away the cameras, man. Go buy yourself a 3D printer, and you'll have a Bigfoot in no time. Oh, man. Well, you know, Christmas was awesome for a lot of people. But I know one group of fanboys and girls who were just absolutely delighted by what came out. Yeah, of course, I'm talking about Star Wars. And I've actually got two stories that I'm going to share with you guys right now about Star Wars. The first one I'm going to share is about an inventor who built his own real-life working lightsaber. Alan Pan, demonstrating his fame and flame-based lightsaber replica, is what I'm going to talk about. One man has found a way to build a Star Wars weapon using a very cleverly disguised flamethrower. Arguably the most sought-after science fiction weapon in history, the trusty lightsaber, a futuristic sword with a blade comprised of burning plasma, has proven very difficult to replicate in real life. Most replica and toy lightsabers are simple plastic rods with a light inside to make them glow and a sound effect chip to make them sound like they do in the Star Wars movies. There are, however, a select few that defy this convention. Alan Penn of YouTube channel Sufficiently Advanced, for example, wowed the internet this week after posting a video of his latest invention, a working lightsaber with an actual burning blade. The extraordinary weapon works using a methanol acetone fuel mixture and a butane as a propellant. While the flame isn't quite as physical as the blade of the lightsabers in the movies, it can still do quite a lot of damage, as demonstrated by Pan in the video, as he instantly burns a photograph of infamous Phantom Menace character Jar Jar Binks when the flame comes into contact with it. As far as a replica lightsaber go, this one is undeniably impressive and the best one yet. Let's take a listen. Hear that? He's lighting the smoke with it. So this thing has sound effects built into it. Hear that? He has the sound effects built into it. So when he turns it on, this big old flame, like just this knife comes out. It's really, really cool. You should check that out, guys. It's all over YouTube. But check out Real Burning Lightsaber on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. Okay, so as you can tell, this has a very dedicated fan base. Star Wars has been around forever, man, and as far as I can remember, it's been around. In fact, the movies came out before I was born, but I'm going to say this. There are some people who do take it just a little bit too far, almost to the point of dying. A man watches Star Wars for 46 hours straight, is my next story, and wow, the Force must be strong with this one. Jim Braden has taken binge viewing to a whole new level by spending almost 2 days watching Star Wars. Fans of the epic sci-fi saga will have been eagerly queuing up to watch The Force Awakens at cinemas over the last few days, but even the most die-hard Star Wars obsessives are unlikely to have attempted to watch all the movies back-to-back non-stop for a whole 46 hours. 40-year-old Braden, who is content strategist at Dell, was one of the seven fans who participated in the Alamo Drafthouse cinema chain Star Wars Marathon, which involved sitting in a movie theater to watch through the entire saga. All six of the original and prequel films, as well as Episode 7, reportedly and repeatedly in an endless loop until all the other participants had dropped out finally. I wanted to demonstrate my passion, he said. I grew up with Star Wars. As a kid, the simple morality just appealed to me. Everybody likes a white hat hero they can get behind. Brayden had to rely on U.S. Navy SEAL breathing techniques to help him get through the ordeal. We put ourselves through hell mentally and physically, he said. Watching it became almost a hallucinatory experience. One other guy complained of having chest pains and dropped out. I came out of it saying that I still enjoy the movie. That's how you know it's a good movie. When you've been through hell and will probably go back to see it again next weekend. Well, bravo, my friend. You are officially the biggest Star Wars just fan I think I've ever seen. Oh, my Lord. Imagine having to use military skills to get through that. 46 hours of hell. Oh, God. Well, you know, if they really want to drive a nuts, they could just put Jar Jar Binks on just repeat over and over and over and over and over again. And don't worry, I would not dare play him on my podcast or his voice, because let's be honest, I'm trying to grow my fan base. I mean, I'm not going to live forever, and it'll be nice to see this podcast keep growing and growing. Speaking of living forever, have you heard about the life form that lives forever? Yeah, now I know what you're going to say. I must be nuts, but guess what? It's actually technically very, very true. A group of invertebrates known as Hydra have the unique ability to regenerate themselves indefinitely. With a name that matches the multi-headed monster of Greek mythology, Hydra are a form of freshwater polyp that resemble a thin tube-like organism with tentacles protruding from one end. What makes them particularly interesting is the fact that they do not appear to deteriorate with age, meaning that there is no practical limit to the amount of time they can live for. That means they are indeed immortal. Biologist Daniel Martinez, who originally set out many years ago to prove that these remarkable creatures must still be subject to the aging process, has ended up having to admit defeat. I do believe that an individual Hydra can live forever under the right circumstances, he said. The key to their unlimited longevity seems to be the fact that their bodies are mostly comprised of stem cells, which are capable of continuous division and differentiation. In humans, we lose these cells within the first few days of embryonic development, whereas the Hydra keep them indefinitely. I'm hoping this work helps spark another scientist to take a deeper look at immortality, said Martinez, perhaps in some other organisms that helps bring more light to the mysteries of aging. Well, I tell you, nobody looks forward to getting older. And the idea of being able to live forever is pretty appealing, but it's something I've debated on this show before with people. Do we really want to live forever? Think about that. Wouldn't life lose a little bit of its meaning if we weren't just here for a short time? What if we were here for 1,000 years? I mean, I don't know about you, but suddenly I wouldn't be in a rush to do all the things I seem like I've been doing. It'd be nice to live longer, but maybe, just maybe, we would lose a little bit of the meaning behind what it is to be a human being if we were to live forever.
Oh, man. What could I say? From building your own lightsabers and having way too long in the theater listening, oh my god, 46 hours, just, I can't even wrap my brain around how long that is. To even little creatures that live forever, all these stories have been odd to Newfoundland.
We're going to move on now to the brand new part of my show, yeah, you got it, called Oddities, right after this.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the first ever Oddities. You got it. This is the first time I've ever done the Oddities portion on the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. And before I dig in and tell you exactly what that actually is, I'd just like to take a second and just thank my web guy. You got it, Mr. Claude. You can find him at gonzomedia.ca. He's the one who's responsible for my beautiful website, www.lifeafterdeathsociety.com. There, of course, you find my bio, the link to my book, Newfie EVP, and, of course, the link to my podcast, the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Claude does amazing work, and I can't think of a better person to promote here with this Oddities portion of my actual show. So starting tonight, I will be giving on every single show 10 odd but very true facts about the world. I thought it'd be real fun because, you know what? Not everything is going to be paranormal. Some things are stranger than fiction. So here we go. I'm going to dig on in. The first thing I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, here it is. Odd fact number one tonight. Butterflies cannot fly if their body temperature is less than 86 degrees. Odd fact number two. Neurons multiply at a rate of 250,000 neurons per minute during early pregnancy. Odd fact number three. Elephants had the longest pregnancy in the animal kingdom at 22 months. The longest human pregnancy on record is 17 months, 11 days. Oh, man. I really hope Steph doesn't go that long. Odd fact number four. A female oyster produces 100 million young in her lifetime. The typical hen lays 19 dozen eggs a year, and it is possible for one female cat to be responsible for the birth of 20,736 kittens in 4 years. Michelle Duggar holds the record for largest human family, having given birth to 17 children. Wow. 17 children. Two's enough for me. I don't know about you guys. Odd fact number five. 750 milliliters of blood pumps through your brain every minute, which is 15 to 20% of blood flow from your heart. So where does the rest go? Well, as a man, I can tell you at least 2%. Definitely 2% flows to somewhere I'm quite acquainted with. But speaking of which, did you know, and here's odd fact number six, the human brain is about 75% water. Were you aware of that? Odd but true. Did you know, odd fact, dragonflies are capable of flying 60 miles per hour, making them one of the fastest insects on the planet. This is good since they are in a big hurry, as they only live about 24 hours. Now see, that's something I did not know. Dragonflies only live for a day? That's crazy, man. Did you know that flies jump backwards during takeoff? Yeah, they fly backwards. They jump in the air backwards before they spread their wings and take off. That's a pretty cool fact. Here's a gross one. Another one about flies. A housefly will regurgitate its food and eat it again. Ooh, God. So in other words, it will throw it up and it'll suck it back up. Man, maybe I should be telling you guys on the New Year's edition of the Odd the Newfoundland about that, because Lord only knows most of you guys are hungover today. And the last but not least, odd fact number 10 on Odd the Newfoundland's oddities this month. Termites outweigh humans by almost 10 to 1.
I don't know about you guys, man, but all those facts are definitely odd to Newfoundland.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast. My guest tonight is no stranger to radio. He doesn't do one show a week, not two show a week, not three or even four. This guy, yeah, five shows a week. Oh my God. Dave Scott, how do you even manage to do that?
You know what? It's probably the ego in me that when I started up Spaced Out Radio on November 30th, 2014, I decided to either go big or go home. I think I probably at times bit off a little bit more than I can chew, but unfortunately, that's just the way it is.
Well, all the way from the East Coast over here in good old St. John's, Newfoundland, it's good to have another, how shall I say this, Canadian paranormal nut out there. I hear you're all the way on the other side of the country. Am I right in saying that?
I'm here in British Columbia, and you know what? I've never seen so much snow before. It's fantastic.
We are freezing to death over here. Minus 22 was the wind chill today. Ugh.
Nice. Very nice.
It's
t-shirt weather, isn't it?
Yeah, Newfoundland, everyone will be outside with their fire and t-shirt and shorts on tomorrow, probably having a good old-fashioned Newfie boil-up.
Perfect.
Dave, thanks so much for taking the time and being on the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast. I want to throw this out there to everybody. Yes, this guy has his own podcast. We are going to be doing cheap plugs all throughout this 25-minute interview. Just to make sure that everybody who's my listeners out there get a chance to experience him, because I'm telling you, I could see the paranormal heart right away. If a guy has a show 5 days a week, I mean, come on. Even the so-called legends, and I'm using quotation marks here in paranormal radio, don't do 5 days a week. Good Lord.
Well, you know what? Part of that is I do have a radio background. I went to school at one of Canada's top broadcasting schools here in British Columbia, and I spent 10 years in terrestrial radio. So I kind of have a feel for what radio should be. And maybe, like I said, I bit off maybe a little bit more than I could chew. But you know what? It's over a year in, and Spaced Out Radio just continues to grow. So it's one of those things where you just got to keep it going now, because the audience expects it, and the show is all about the audience. It isn't about me.
Well, Dave, I'm so excited to also be a guest on your show, hopefully sometime in January or even February, whenever we get a chance, hey? I'm looking forward to jumping in there, dude, because I got an awesome story to tell. But you know what? Tonight is not about my story. It's all about your story. I'm like to think that you perhaps had a childhood of some sort before you started getting into radio. My friend, tell me of the journey that is Mr. Dave.
Well, you know what? I grew up in a household where we really didn't talk about much. And to this day, it's kind of a thorn in our family's side that, you know what, we only have small talk. So I'm kind of the black sheep of the family, because I like to talk about all sorts of topics, you know. But I grew up playing hockey. I grew up playing baseball and fishing. And you know what? I had a good childhood. I went to college here in British Columbia after a bunch of failed ventures of people making promises to me that it didn't pan out. So I figured, I better get a future going here. And about 8 years ago, I decided to drop out of mainstream radio because I wanted to know what it was like to have food on the table and gas in my tank at the same time. And I wanted to know what a vacation was, not a staycation. because if anybody knows what radio is like out there, you'll know that radio really isn't made for paying the bills. It's a real love of an art, and unfortunately, it is dying in this country, and it's sad to see, but you know what? I had to make a career change for the betterment of my family, which I did. But when I started having my own personal experiences 4 years ago, that's when I decided about a year ago that I had to do something about it, because I wasn't finding the answers that I needed to satisfy myself for the experiences that I was having, whether they were paranormal, whether they were crypto, whether they were ufological. So that's when I decided to, on the pushing of a really good friend of mine, to get back into the game.
And you know what a game it is. I absolutely adore anybody out there who actually does what we do. It's so much fun and a great way to connect with people. You know, you can't have a field without fans. And I like to think that we're the weird guys who are actually the sports announcers for the paranormal field. How do you like that analogy? You like that one?
Well, I do because I'm a former sports announcer when I was on terrestrial radio. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
There you go. Tell me a little tiny bit about your experiences with the paranormal. I know you were just about kind of ready to mention it there, but tell me a little bit about how you got into it. You know, for a lot of people, they have that aha moment, or maybe they have their own experiences before they become somewhat of a believer. Tell me a little tiny bit about your background with the paranormal itself.
Well, I grew up basically wanting to see, you know, you sit around with your buddies, you go camping, and you're like, yeah, there's three things I want to see before I die. I want to see a Bigfoot, I want to see a ghost, and I want to see a UFO. When I was 21, I saw my first UFO, and that was just a real eye-opener for me. And then I had to wait a few years before I saw a ghost. And my ex-wife and I lived in a haunted house with our family, and it was very, very odd, the experiences we had there. I never really paid much attention to it. And where my aha moment happened was on December 13th, 2011, when I had a bunch of family over for an early Christmas dinner because my daughter was going away with her maternal grandparents for the Christmas holidays. And I went to give my mother a hug. And my mother has these really beautiful blue eyes, and as I got closer to her, like within a foot and a half of giving her a hug because my parents were leaving, I noticed that everybody in the room, and there was about 25 people in the room, everybody was standing still. And I looked at my mom, and I looked into her eyes, and she had this absolute look of shock on her face, and her eyes were jet black with something white in her pupils looking back at me. And immediately I knew I was looking at the angel of death. And that night, after everyone had left, because I got a little freaked out, my wife and I sat on our couch, and she's like, just relax and maybe figure out what you were seeing. Maybe try and recall it. And I don't remember the next 38 minutes of sitting on the couch with my wife across from me on our other couch. My wife tells me that I started channeling the angel of death. He said that I was not supposed to see him, but since I did see him, he felt the need that he had to explain why he was there. And over the next 38 minutes, he told me how I could keep my mom around. And I'm glad to say, to keep this story short, I'm glad to say that my mother is still alive, which makes me very happy because she would have never seen the birth of my son. And, you know, it's been a very tall-telling tale, you know, where you think about it and you think, man, you know, this is unbelievable. I can't really get into this. I can't really believe this. But since December 13th, 2011, I have found that I have become extremely intuitive. I have found that I have, I'll give you an example. You know, in 2014, I had mentioned that Guns N' Roses was going to reunite with the old lineup. And all my friends were telling me, no, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. And lo and behold, on December 29th or 29th, they reunited and announced the 2016 tour. And I told all my friends, in 2016, you watch.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses is going to reunite.
And I hate to interrupt your story because I know you're getting to the really juicy parts, but that is so awesome. I cannot wait. I just really, really hope Axl Rose does not wear the tight skin pants.
Oh, no. In 2014, I saw them perform three times in six nights in Las Vegas, and he's in blue jeans and cowboy boots now. So
nice.
We don't have to worry about the short shorts anymore.
We don't have to worry about the Axl package.
Exactly.
But, you said you saw an UFO. How did that happen?
Well, you know what? I just saw it. I heard this noise. The first one I saw, I heard this noise. And I come from a family of alcoholics. And I went the other way. I stayed away from alcohol. And so when my buddies wanted to get lit up, I was always the designated driver. So one night, it was one of those summer nights where I think I was 21 years old and got home from the bar with my buddies. It's about 2:30 in the morning. And it's one of those summer nights where it's still about 25, 26 degrees when in the middle of the night. It was just a very humid, hot night. So I go out on my parents' patio, and I hear this buzzing sound, and I'm trying to find that buzzing sound because I'm a real aviation buff. And it sounded like a C-130 Hercules. And I looked up to my right into the sky, and there was just this orange ball of light following the sound. And I watched it fly over. Our family's house was on a hill, and if you looked a couple miles away straight south, there was the old airport there. And I'm in Abbotsford, British Columbia at that time, where the world famous air show is. And the airport was always blacked out because it shuts down, the runway shuts down at midnight, and everything's diverted to Vancouver International. So I watched this light go right across the sky, right above where the airport was. And just like a light switch, the light went off, and then the sound kept going, and then the sound went off. It was the weirdest thing. Fast forward to after seeing the Angel of Death. In the last 4 years, I have had another experience with the Angel of Death. I have had a sighting encounter of two Bigfoot. I have seen or probably had 120, 130 paranormal experiences. And when we get into the ufological side, I have had about 120, 130 UFO sightings, daytime, nighttime. A close encounter of the third kind where I had a ship land about 150 yards away from me, and I've seen five extraterrestrials. And it really wakes you up that there's something else out there. And my quest for Spaced Out Radio is I am trying to figure out why this is happening to me, because I lived a happily boring life before all of this started. And now my happily boring life is over, and I'm sent on this mission to try and figure out what the hell is really going on out there.
Maybe I could give you an idea here. I'll say this much. I had a friend of mine who used to do paranormal investigations with me very, very, very faithfully, just a really wonderful fellow by the name of Robert DeMond. Robert had a near-death experience a few years before I met him. He got trapped under ice, actually, and had almost died, came very, very close. But since that moment that he had that touch with the other side, that little brush, it seemed like the paranormal followed him. It was almost like he was a beacon in the darkness that is the paranormal. Now, this is, of course, just from the paranormal investigating side of things with spirits, we'll say, okay? As for the UFOs, I have no idea. That's the first I've ever heard of anybody having so many encounters in such a short amount of time as well. Makes you kind of wonder how many people are out there right now who are experiencing the things you're experiencing, and myself as well, because let me tell you, as an EVP researcher, I hear a lot of weird, weird stuff, and I still don't know if it's a ghost or something that's just flying above the planet. Where do you think these things are actually coming from, just from your own experience? I mean, there must be a cause. What could be the causality?
I have no idea where these are coming from, whether they're man-made, whether they are from another planet. I am just absolutely intense on trying to find out that answer. But the problem is, when you open up one door, many other doors open up. And that's what I don't like about this field, is it's not as simple as saying, you know what, I need to find out where UFOs come from, because now you get into government conspiracy. Now you get into what are governments holding up. I mean, we've heard Paul Hellyer many a times come through and say over the past 10 years and say, you know what, UFOs are real, extraterrestrials are real, we know about them, we're communicating with them. The governments of the world need to open up their eyes and not hide this from the public anymore. Is there a tie to the paranormal? I'm not too sure. A lot of people will say that spiritually, extraterrestrials can enter your home and hang out, much like a spirit can. The difference that a lot of people will say is that
extraterrestrials, if you're an energy reader, and extraterrestrials will come in at a higher plane of energy, whereas spirits will be at a lower plane, and you can actually feel the difference. And now I have someone who is a good friend of mine who showed me the difference in between these two. In her house, which she had numerous spirits. She's very intuitive. She's an ET contactee since birth. And you could actually feel the difference in the two. I was actually quite amazed when I learned about that. So I don't know how well that they're tied together, but I do know that there is something to it. And we're reaching into way too many different genres. We're spreading this field out way too thin to actually find the answers that I believe are actually out there for us experiencers to know what is truly going on.
And it's interesting that you should say that, because even in the realms of science, we know so very little. We have no idea where we came from or how we got here. How could we possibly ever decode all these weird things that are going around? Which just kills me when you deal with someone who's so skeptical and closed-minded towards the, say, ufology. It just drives me nuts as well. And I know you mentioned a guy you were having a battle with in the forum before we got on the phone together. It does not surprise me at all that people out there – because really, in a way, ignorance is bliss. It's so easy to say there's no such thing as ghosts. There's no such thing as UFOs. They're just figments of your imagination. But in reality, these things have been documented for thousands of years and with very similar accounts on all hands. The only thing that's really changed in ufology is the fact that we've got up there now with better cameras. That's really the only thing that's changed. We're still getting spherical, weird-looking stuff in the sky day and night. It's still happening. Why?
Well, you know what? I think it's because that people don't want to open their minds. I mean, when you open the door, when I saw my first extraterrestrial, I'll put it in my own context here for me. When I saw my first extraterrestrial, it was like being a child again and standing in the middle of nowhere all alone, and a stranger walks up to you and says, "What you're reading?" And in your hand is the rules of life that you've been taught. Everything your parents have taught you, your grandparents, your teachers, everything on a sheet of paper. And he comes up to you and says, "Let me see that," and rips it from your hand, crumples it up, and throws it in the garbage. That's exactly what it feels like. And for people who are skeptical, my question to them is, what are you afraid of? And they always fall on the fact of, give me proof. There's thousands of documented cases of proof out there, whether it's paranormal, whether it's ufological, whether it's a Bigfoot. Okay? What more proof do you need? What more proof do you need? There's no point in taking you out to look for something, because no matter what, you're going to try and debunk it. I hate that word. Pardon me for even using it. Okay, but you're going to try and say, well, that's a light flash from the sun. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. There is no sun. Okay, well, that's a satellite. Okay, if it's a satellite, did you know that satellites don't have lights on them? Okay, well, that's gas up in the atmosphere. No, that's the Milky Way cloud right there. This thing is flying and moving in a 90-degree angle. What is causing that? Well, it might be military. Well, there's no sound. You know, they look for every aspect to try and make people feel like they're nuts. And then they get into it. Well, the government or military, the government or media will tell you about it. No, they won't. No, they won't. I want to read you something that is very important to me, if you don't mind.
No, you go right ahead, Dave. I'm all ears, man.
This is how the media works. And you got to realize, I spent 10 years in the newsroom. Only one media outlet covered this story heavily, and that was the Huffington Post. Everyone else dropped the ball, whether it was CNN, whether it was Fox, whether it was ABC, NBC, CBS. In the United States. Now, if you don't know the name John Podesta, you need to learn that. Okay, John Podesta is a gentleman who was President Obama's right-hand man. Before that, he helped President Clinton win both terms as the top man in the United States before George W. Bush took over and made a mess of things. Okay, John Podesta left President Obama's White House to go join Hillary Clinton's presidential bid. Okay. On February 13th, 2015, at 10:55 a.m., John Podesta sends out a tweet. Finally, my biggest failure of 2014, once again, not securing the hashtag disclosure of the UFO files. Hashtag, the truth is still out there. Bill and Hillary, if you read up on them, they're very big ufological people. They've never mentioned it. The fact that you have the right-hand man of the United States president saying his biggest failure of 2014 is not disclosing the UFO files that the United States government has, says right there, they're out there. They have the files, and they could not be released. And this is, think about this for a second. Next to Christ coming down himself and showing up and saying, hey, people, I'm here. Let's get all religious now. Okay? The next biggest story of mankind is the fact, are we alone in the universe?
Mm-hmm.
And this proves that, yes, UFOs and extraterrestrials are being covered up.
I know logic and religion don't usually go hand in hand, but I always use this little, shall we say, story for people. You know, we've been taught that a creator, whether you want to believe it's Buddha or God or whatever you want to think, it's up to you. If a creator truly did create everything there is, or at least put everything in spin to create what is around us, all the water, all the trees, every animal, everything, you name it, if there truly was a creator, why would they only stop here? Why would they stop with just one planet?
Well, exactly. And that's my point. Like, if you take the religious type of it, and I'm a believer in God, let me tell you that right now. Whether or not people agree with that, I really don't care. It's my own personal choice. Okay, but the one thing that I have learned here is when you talk to religious people about extraterrestrials, they will tell you point blank, well, those are fallen angels. Those are demons trying to trick you, everything like that. My answer to that is exactly what you said. Are you that naive to think that God would only create us?
Mm-hmm.
If God is eternal, if God is real and God is eternal and he is the Alpha and the Omega, only human stupidity could sit there and say, we are the only ones.
I caught a glimpse of God quite a few times, but it was actually inside a physics book. If you don't know what spooky acting at a distance is, folks, you really got to look it up. It's faster than the speed of light, folks. It's amazing. One thing I will say, this has been a really interesting conversation. Believe it or not, we just burned through 22 minutes, but you know what? We're going to go ahead. We're going to keep talking because, Dave, dude, you're a really interesting guy. You really are.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I appreciate that. I try and keep it interesting, and the one thing that I try and do is I try and keep an open mind. Like on my radio show, we don't do a lot of scientific stuff. We don't, whether it's paranormal, whether it's ufological, I'm not a scientist. Mm-hmm. What I am is I'm a trained journalist who has had experiences. And my motto on my show is I believe everybody. The reason why, John, is I've never stood in your shoes. So let's say you come out with a paranormal theory. I may not agree with it personally, but you know what, John? I've never stood in your shoes.
That's right.
I'll ask you the hard questions. I may challenge you on some things, but I'm not going to be that guy who comes out and sits there and say, well, you know what? You're wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. This is my show, so I get the last word. I'll never do that because I have too many people who are experiencers listening to this show and listening to my show who will sit there and they will literally say, you know what? I agree with this person's angle. That's what happened to me. And my show is all about the experience. That's what I'm dedicated to, is people's experiences. Okay? So if I can sit there and help one person, which I already know I have, but if I can sit there and help one person come to terms with the experiences they are having, I've done my job. And that's what I try and do, is bring an open light to these topics that are very heavy and very controversial.
That's right. And you know, just from a little personal angle on my own, I mean, I started doing this podcast as a way to talk to people about the paranormal because Newfoundland, believe it or not, I know you probably know your geography quite well, but a lot of people out there don't know. In fact, 95% of my listeners are in Europe. the population of Newfoundland is actually quite small, which means that there's a population of people who believe in the paranormal that is also quite small here. So when I started doing my podcast, it was like almost a way to reach out and talk to people. So I'm so glad to hear that you've had that ability with people. It's very, very important. Very, very important.
Well, it is. And I have one listener. I'll never mention his name. But he contacted me after coming to the show a couple of times. He was quite silent in my chat room that I have going on. And about a month after he had been there, he finally contacted me and he said, "I need to tell you something. I'm an experiencer. I didn't want to tell you before because I thought you would laugh at me." Then he starts telling me about how professionally he's a corrections officer in a United States prison that's maximum security. He deals with the baddest of the bad. Okay. And this guy's sleeping on 1 to 2 hours a night because in March of 2015, all of a sudden out of nowhere, he started being taken by extraterrestrials, and they were doing some pretty rash things to him. And he sent me pictures of the scars that he had on his body that he had no idea how they got there. And his wife had no idea how they got there. And he was scared. And he literally told me, he's like, "Dave, you saved my life." And I kind of laughed, and because I mean, us being Canadian, we're kind of humble people, and we don't really, like that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're usually like, "Yeah, you chill out, my friend. Have a beer with me." And
exactly. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he says, "Before I found your show, I was ready to commit suicide because I was tired of these experiences happening." And he says, "What your show taught me was I'm not alone. And it's okay for me to talk about them. And people aren't going to ridicule me. People aren't going to call me crazy. People aren't going to make fun of me." And he cried on the phone to me because he was so thankful that he had finally found an outlet of people who believed him. And to this day, I still help him.
It's interesting. Maybe the reason why you got to experience so many strange and just an array of paranormal events is because you are truly meant to speak to people about this, Dave. Maybe that's your calling. You know, it's interesting. My calling, I believe, is just the paranormal in general. I do a podcast once a month for a reason. That's because I'm still an investigator. How about you? Do you feel like your show is always going to be there? Do you think that's something you're going to continue doing? Or do you think you might actually want to get into actually researching this stuff and being an investigator yourself? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now, David? Well, I guess what I'm trying to say.
What I'm hoping for my show is that one day it gets picked up. I would love to take this mainstream again. I really would. And I'd like to get back on terrestrial radio with this topic because I think it's important. Because you know what? Here's the funniest part about it is when you start bringing up these topics, if you go to a house party and you being an investigator, you'll understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You go to a house party and people will say, "Oh, well, what do you do?" "Well, I'm a paranormal investigator," or "I'm a host of a radio show that talks about paranormal UFOs." "Oh, that crap doesn't exist." But there was this one time that I did see something that was kind of strange. It always goes like that.
Yeah. It's I equate it to the girl that wasn't very attractive that we all slept with back in college and we didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, I
never got laid in college, but.
Yeah, exactly. So what I would like to do is I'd like to bring this a little bit more mainstream. That's why we take a real journalistic approach to what we do on Spaced Out Radio. So for people who haven't heard our show before, it's a lot like Coast to Coast AM. We take a very journalistic approach to it. And we have different topics of every night. So we're not just talking paranormal. We're not just talking UFOs and aliens. We talk the whole gamut of everything from psychics to numerology. There's a few topics I won't talk about. I won't get into doom and gloom. So I refuse to talk end of the world. I refuse to talk about what's happening in the Middle East. I refuse to talk about trendy diseases like Ebola or something along those lines because there's just too much conspiracy around those. Now, I love a good conspiracy story. Trust me on that one. I absolutely do. But there has to be a fine line of what you broadcast. And I'm not here to scare people. I'm here to help people. And that's what it's all about. So I would love to see this in 5 years take off. I will tell you, though, I've only ever been on one paranormal investigation. Hmm. And that happened in November of 2015, so not too long ago. And it was extremely interesting for me to just watch these guys work and watch them do their thing. Did we have some experiences? Yeah, we did. I thought it was absolutely incredible, the experiences that we had. And I saw things that I've never seen happen before. So it was really cool, you know. But I think that the investigative part really isn't for me. I just want to get out there, and I want to be able to tell people, as many people as possible, that they're not alone. Whether they are living in a haunted house, whether they are an extraterrestrial experience or a UFO experience, or maybe they've seen Bigfoot or Dogman or a sea monster or something along those lines. I want them to know that they always have a home at Spaced Out Radio, because we'll believe you.
And let me tell you, Dave, you'll always have a home here on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, man. You're just awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time tonight. I really genuinely appreciate it. I know all my fans here in Newfoundland and all over the world are just going to be scratching their heads and probably saying, huh, where do I listen to you to? Where can they find your show to?
If you go to our website, spacedoutradio.com, we broadcast 7 days a week. My show goes Monday through Friday. If we go on Pacific time, we start it up at 10 p.m. Pacific. And Saturdays and Sunday nights, we have a gentleman named James Tyson, who's actually an RCMP officer, who's an empath, who actually hosts the weekend shows Saturdays and Sunday nights. So he is fantastic. He's more of a paranormal expert, whereas I kind of delve into absolutely everything around the topics. So if you go to our website, spacedoutradio.com, you can click on Listen Live at any time. And if you're not awake, because I know it's early in the morning in Newfoundland where we hit the live button, what you can do is you can download any of our podcasts on the website. You can listen to them, or you can find them on iTunes or on Google as well.
Dave, thanks so much for your time tonight. You take care of yourself, my friend.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page. Drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.